Okay, for the second part of the teaching on this Shabbat, we're going to be talking about 1 Peter chapter 4. And it begins with verse 1, "For as much then as Messiah has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." Here Peter is telling us that we have to be mentally prepared in the flesh for standing up for the words that Messiah spoke and taught us, the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father. And then in the next verse, Peter says that he knows that what will happen to all believers who believe in the truth, who believe in the validity of the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father. According to Peter, all the people who willingly and lovingly choose to believe, follow, and obey Messiah, who of course is the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life made flesh, and who are zealous in their heartfelt desire to follow Messiah's Torah obedient footsteps, which means all people that have made the commitment to obey all the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father, as Messiah did and taught us to do, will, according to Peter, encounter all kinds of resistance. For the majority of the peoples of the world, including those who profess to be of the part of the house of the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, have been led to believe the lies of the enemy. The lie that states that the Torah of Moshe has somehow been changed and or abolished in whole or in part. Therefore, according to these people, anyone coming to them with the message that the Torah of our Heavenly Father is still in full force and effect today, and who insist, as we do, that all the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father will be in full force for eternity, is anathema to them, which means that they see us, Yahweh's Torah being children, as a curse. And therefore, in their eyes and their very limited finite understanding, in their limited wisdom, the very same wisdom that Yahweh calls foolishness, the people who willingly and lovingly choose to believe, follow, and obey all the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father, exactly as they were given to Moshe by Yahweh at Mount Sinai, must be excommunicated. Or better yet, they must be exorcised from their ranks. And since they believe in their heart that they are serving the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, by doing and believing the lies that they have been taught, then they cannot and will not believe the message of the truth, the actual real message of the gospel. They will not believe that the gospel actually instructs people to live by and through Yahweh's truth, the words of our Heavenly Father's and everlasting teachings and instruction, the words of His Torah of life. For the last part of verse 1, "For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." When a person has truly surrendered their hearts, minds, souls, and strength to our Heavenly Father, and then made the conscious choice to allow the Holy Spirit of our Heavenly Father to cause them to believe, follow, and obey all the words of the Father's Torah of life, and have consequently suffered for believing Yahweh's everlasting truth, it means that their hearts are fully surrendered to Yahweh. And since in their hearts they are zealous for Yahweh's truth, which of course are the words of the Father's Torah of life, it means that they will not even consider transgressing the Torah of our Heavenly Father, which in turn means they will not sin. For Scripture makes it very clear in 1 John 3:4 that sin is the transgression of the words of any and all the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father. And that is why Peter can categorically say that the person that suffers in the flesh for willingly and lovingly choosing to obey the words of the living Torah made flesh has ceased from sin. Because the definition of sin is the transgression of the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father. And if a person does not transgress the Torah, then that obviously means that that person does not sin. Verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but that he would live to the will of Elohim. Now this verse has a wonderful ring to it. And I am sure that 99.9% of the people that believe in Yahweh Elohim would wholeheartedly agree with this statement. But before anyone agrees, they should know what Scripture tells us the will of Elohim actually is before they make that commitment. There are many verses in the Torah the prophets and the writings that tell us what the will of our Heavenly Father is. So let's look at a few. Deuteronomy 5:29. Oh, that there was such a heart in the people of Israel that they would fear me and keep all my commands, my Torah always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Deuteronomy 5:33. You shall walk in all the ways which Yahweh, your Elohim, has commanded you, which of course are the words of his Torah of life. Why? So that you may live. So that you may live. And that it may be well with you. And that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall go to possess it. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12 to 13. And now, Israel, what does Yahweh Elohim require? It's important that we see, what does he require of you? But to fear Yahweh Elohim, of course, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, to walk in all his ways, the Father's Torah, and to love him. If you love me, keep my commandments, and to serve Yahweh Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, to keep the commandments of Yahweh and his statutes, commonly called the words of the Torah, his Torah of life, which I command you this day for your good. Isaiah 48, 17 to 20. Thus says Yahweh, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am Yahweh, your Elohim, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way that you should go. Oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments, my Torah. Oh, that you had hearkened to Shema. Oh, that you had learned to hear, listen, pay very close attention to, understand, believe, followed, obeyed, and done all of my commandments. Because if you had obeyed, then your peace would have been as a river, constantly flowing. Your righteousness should have been as the waves of the sea. Righteousness, according to Scripture, is obedience in Yahweh's Torah. Deuteronomy 6, 23, 24. And the waves of the sea never, ever subside. Your seed also would have been as the sand. The offspring of your bowels would have been like the gravel thereof. The promises that Yahweh made to Abraham that he should be the father of many nations will be fulfilled through you and your seed, your offsprings. Furthermore, the name of your seed would not have been cut off, nor be destroyed from before me. The people of Israel, both the southern and northern kingdom, have in the past been sent into exile because of their rebellious disobedience to the word of the Torah of our Heavenly Father. Go forth, therefore, from Babylon. Come out of the ways of the man-made religions of the world and all the false man-made religious and or secular doctrines of the world. Flee from the Chaldeans. Flee from the false ways of mankind, and with a voice of singing, declare, tell this to as many people as you can, utter, declare it even to the ends of the earth. Say, Yahweh has redeemed his servant, Yaakov. What does it mean to be redeemed? The word Gaal. The word Gaal means to redeem, delivered. He acted as a kinsman. He redeemed himself. Redeemer, savior, redemption, deliverance. But it also has a negative meaning. It can mean to defile, to pollute. He defiled himself, defilement and pollution. Micah 6:8. He has showed you, O man, what is good. The English word good is translated from the Hebrew word tov. And while the word tov does indeed mean good, it has a much more profound meaning than just good. It means to function in the manner that Yahweh created you to function, which of course is in total loving surrender and obedience to all the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life. And what does Yahweh require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your Elohim? As you can clearly see by the verses that I quoted, Scripture makes it abundantly clear that what the will of our Heavenly Father actually is. Peter continues on and says in verse 3, for the time past of our life may suffice as to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, because then we walked in lasciviousness, we walked in lusts, in excess of wine, in revelings, in banquetings, and in abominable idolatries. Here Peter is talking about the past habits of his own people, Israel. And at the time, it was the southern kingdom of Judah. And he says that they were lascivious. They lived by the lust of their flesh. They drank intoxicating drinks in excess. They reveled in their disobedience and in the partying. And worst of all, the majority of them believed in and worshipped idols.
And with it be.
Okay, I'm correcting them now. Next, Peter says that now these people that know you,
know your past,
confounded by the ways that you are now acting. He says in verse 4, wherein they, the non-believers, think strange that you do not run with them to the same excess of riot. And they, now because of your newfound ways of willingly loving, choosing to obey the words of the Torah, Holy Father, they speak evil of you. Here Peter says that in the past, when we, corporate Israel, used to walk in the ways of the Gentiles, prior to willingly loving, choosing to surrender our wills to our Heavenly Father in total loving surrender obedience to all the words of His Torah of life, that at that time we did the things that He mentioned above on a regular basis, not fully realizing that we were actually transgressing the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father in doing so. But now that we have willingly and lovingly chosen to allow the Holy Spirit to cause us to believe, follow, and obey and do the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father on a daily basis, as Messiah Himself did and commanded us to do, these so-called past friends of ours think we are acting strange. And you can rest assured that they will speak evil of us because of our newfound beliefs. They will more than likely say things like, we are in bondage to the law, or that we are trying to work for our salvation. For their flawed understanding, they equate obedience to the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father that Yahweh Himself gave to Moshe at Mount Sinai as being under the spell or the control of Satan and headed to total and absolute damnation. Verse 5, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Here in verse 5, Peter goes on to say that these people that speak evil of you or of us because we have willingly and lovingly chosen to believe, follow, and obey all the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father will have to, on Judgment Day, give an account of what their own lives to Yahweh, Messiah, the words of the living Torah of our Heavenly Father made flesh, for it is the words of the Father's Torah of life made flesh that will judge all people in the end on Judgment Day. Next, we see that Peter gives us the reason why the gospel is preached to them, that is, to the people that ridicule you, me, you ridicule you and me, and the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father. Peter says, "For this cause was the gospel preached unto them that are dead. The people that believe that the Torah is done away with, and no longer relevant to them." That's the people who are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to the Elohim in the Spirit. Now, it is very important that you understand what Peter is telling us here. Peter is saying that all, I mean absolutely all the people who do not believe that all the words of the Torah of the Heavenly Father is for them, have a dead spirit, a spirit that is in a coma. And that is the reason why the gospel, our Heavenly Father's truth, has to be taught to them. It is so that they can be awakened from to the Father's truth. It is to give them the opportunity to hear and obey the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father, which when obeyed will lead all people to the doorway of the King of Elohim, where on Judgment Day, they and they alone who choose to believe, follow, and obey the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life will be invited to spend eternity in His everlasting kingdom, while everyone else will be sent to their second death in a lake of fire. We all have to understand that Yahweh only has one truth, one gospel, one Torah for the homegrown and for the sojourner. And that one truth is the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life, made flesh our Messiah, who Himself was resurrected unto eternal life because He chose of His own accord in the Garden of Gethsemane to willingly and lovingly believe, follow, and obey all the words of the Father's Torah of life while He was here on earth with us. We have to believe and understand that Messiah is the Word of the Father's Torah of life, made flesh. And since Scripture makes it very clear that Messiah lives forever, then that means that the words of the living Torah will also live and be relevant forever. Therefore, whether people believe it or not, Scripture makes it abundantly clear that the Torah and those who willingly love it choose to allow the Holy Spirit to cause them to believe, follow, and obey it, will be resurrected unto eternal life and have the privilege of dwelling in the kingdom of Elohim for eternity, while everyone else will be like the five unwise virgins and find themselves out of the camp, out of the kingdom, and lost forever, for they will be sent to their second death in the lake of fire. Verse 6, For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, so that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to the Elohim in spirit. In the second half of verse 6, Peter is telling us that all of us are beings of flesh, but that we are not to live according to the lust of our flesh, but that instead we are to live according to the Spirit. And that means that we are to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit of our Heavenly Father, who was given to us by our Heavenly Father, so that he could cause all who will allow him to believe, follow, and obey all the words of the Father's Torah of life. And we see that truth in Ezekiel 36, 26, 27. Back in Peter's day, said in verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be sober, sophroneo, which means, it's pronounced sophroneo, and means to be of sound mind, sane, be in right mind, be sober-minded, soberly, and that means that we are to have the sober mind of Messiah, and watch unto prayer. Peter told us that back in his day, he believed that the end was near, and that we are to be sober, and being sober means that we are to have the right frame of mind, and that means that we are to have the mind of Messiah, who, of course, is the words of the living Torah of Heavenly Father made flesh, and who, of his own volition, believed, followed, and obeyed all the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father, as he was commanded to do by the Father. Verse 8, and above all things, have fervent love among yourselves. The word fervent is pronounced ektenes. It's from G1614 and means intent, without ceasing, fervent. The word love is the word agape, Strong's number 26. And it means love, affection, benevolence, charity, dear love. For love, agape, shall cover the multitude of sins. According to Scripture, we are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And that means that if you want to make it into the kingdom of Elohim, and since we now know that the only way to make it there is by choosing to believe, follow, and obey the words of the Father's Torah of life, as best, not nest, that as best we can, then we must learn to love our neighbors enough to tell him or her about the wondrous blessing that we experience when we willingly and lovingly choose to obey the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life. We must express our love for our neighbors by first living a Torah obedient life, and then tell all who are interested in receiving the blessing that our Heavenly Father pours out upon us, his obedient children, that they can have those blessings also, if they willingly and lovingly choose to surrender their hearts, minds, souls, and strength to our Heavenly Father in total loving surrender and obedience to all the words of his Torah of life. Unfortunately for all of us, we will probably experience more ridicule for this kind of teaching, for teaching that the words of the Torah of Heavenly Father are still in full effect today, than experiencing acceptance of this teaching. But please remember that Messiah preached the Torah to all that would listen, even from the cross, when he was being crucified. Therefore, let us not falter in our mandate to live and teach the words of our Heavenly Father's, Heavenly Father, as Messiah did and taught us to do. Verse 9 goes on to say, use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man has received the gift. Even so, minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifest or of the manifold grace of Elohim. Peter makes it abundantly clear here that we are to teach the gospel, the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father, to all who will listen. and that we are to use whatever gifts our Heavenly Father has given us to further the kingdom of Elohim. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise. Have you ever stopped and taken a moment to actually ponder what these words in Proverbs 11:30 actually mean? Well, if you did, then the very first question that you should ask yourself, is, what is the fruit of the righteous that Solomon says is a tree of life? To get the answer to that question, we have to define what it means to be righteous. And the definition is found in Deuteronomy 6:25, where it says, it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments that before Yahweh Elohim as he has commanded us. So the fruit of the righteous is obedience to the words of the Father's Torah of life. And Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, tells us that obedience to the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father is a tree of life. The other part of Solomon's wise saying is that the person that wins souls is wise. Again, that brings up another question. What does it mean to be wise? As always, Scripture has the answer. Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 through 8. Behold, I, Moshe, have taught you, Israel, statutes and judgment, even as Yahweh, my Elohim, commanded me, that you, Israel, should do so in the land where you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. Why should the people of Israel keep and do the words of the Torah? For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation, Israel, is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who has Elohim so near unto them as Yahweh Elohim is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great and has statutes and judgments so righteous as all these words, the Torah, which I, Moshe, set before you this day? Well, since wisdom is indeed defined as the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father, and Solomon tells us that the people that win souls are wise, then that must mean that the only way that these people can and will win souls is by choosing to believe, follow, and obey all the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father, and teach others to do the same. For that is exactly what Messiah did and taught us to do. Now back to Peter's words, verse 11. If any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of Elohim. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which Elohim gives him, so that Elohim in all things may be glorified through Yeshua the Messiah, the words of the living Torah made flesh. To whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here Peter's telling us that everything we do, every deed, every word we speak, should glorify Yahweh Elohim. Does that mean that we are not allowed to speak anything else? Of course not. We can follow all the mandates of Yahweh in and through our daily life, at work, at home, or at play, by being an example to the people that we are with, an example of the love, grace, mercy, kindness, and forgiving nature of Messiah and our Heavenly Father. I know that those are very lofty goals, but that is what we are mandated to do. And even though we may fail at one or many of these tasks in our daily lives, we are to strive to live by those high ideals, because that is what Yahweh expects and wants from us. Verse 12 says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange things has happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Messiah's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. I hope that you can see the incredible blessing that Peter is telling us about here, for that blessing will be ours when Messiah returns, if we can learn to be partakers of Messiah's suffering. Now I have to ask you, how do you think Messiah suffered? He suffered at the hands of the world system of the day and at the hands of the religious leaders of the day. Both these entities, though through their appointed leaders, followed their own man-made doctrines, One was a man-made religious doctrine, while the other was a secular doctrine. But both were man-made doctrines that Messiah suffered under. Now, all of Scripture confirms to us that Messiah is the words of the living Torah of our Heavenly Father made flesh. Therefore, when Peter says that if we are reproached for the name of Yahweh, and the English word name is in Scripture is translated from the Hebrew word Shem, which means the character, the essence of who a person is. Therefore, since Messiah is the words of the living Torah of our Heavenly Father made flesh, it means that when we suffer for his name, we are actually suffering for the Torah. We are suffering for our position in believing, following, and obeying the words of the Father's Torah of life. Verse 14 says, if you are reproached for the name, the essence, the character of Messiah and his Torah being life that you are mimicking, you shall be very happy. Why should we be very happy for mimicking the Torah obedient life of Messiah? Because it means that the spirit of glory of Elohim is actually resting. Listen to this. The spirit and glory of Elohim is actually resting upon us. However, on their part, the secular leaders and leaders of the man-made religions of the day and their followers, he, the Holy Spirit, is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. In other words, what Peter is telling us is that very few people believe that Yahweh willingly gives us his Holy Spirit because he wants to cause every willing heart that will allow him to believe, follow, and obey all the words of the Father's Torah of life. And since most people who profess to be of the house of the Elohim, Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov follow the teaching of the leaders of the man-made religions of the Judeo-Christian beliefs, who, for the most part, reject the premise that our Heavenly Father has given us his Holy Spirit to cause all who will allow him to obey all the words of the Torah of life. Therefore, when they take that position, they are actually speaking evil of the Father's Holy Spirit. For whether they believe it or not, or understand it or not, they are actually denying the Holy Spirit's Elohim-given purpose, which is to cause every surrendered, contrite, obedient heart that will allow him, the Holy Spirit, to believe, follow, and obey all the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father.
Mark, could I just ask you, what is an example of a man-made religion?
Christianity, Judaism, and Catholicism, Islam, and all these other denominations. Every religion in the world is man-made. Messiah did not come to earth to teach us religion. Uh-huh. He came to earth to teach us to keep the Torah of the Father. Not religion, okay. Obedience to the Torah.
Yeah, way of life.
Okay. A way of life, yes.
So that we could live.
Verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Here Peter is telling us to live in obedience to the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father, because he knows that if we willingly do that, that we will not suffer the penalties that are mandated for transgressing the Torah of our Heavenly Father, since we will be obeying his words as we are commanded to do. Verse 16, yet if any man suffer as an obedient believer, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify Elohim on his behalf. If you are encountering opposition for your beliefs that the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father are still in full effect today, then don't be ashamed of your position, your beliefs, but instead stand tall and proud because you are obeying the mandate of the Creator of the universe. Next, Peter says in verse 17, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of Elohim. And if it first begin at us, meaning all the houses that profess to believe in, follow, and obey the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, what shall the end be of them that do not obey the gospel, the truth, Psalm 119, 142 of the Torah of Elohim, that those that do not obey the words of his Torah, Ephesians 1:13, his gospel, his Torah, his truth, Psalm 119, 142. Verse 18, and if the righteous, the people that have willingly and lovingly chosen to believe, follow, and obey all the words of the Torah of Heavenly Father, scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? The word there is molus, Strong's number 3433, probably by variation, which means with difficulty, hardly, scarcely, or scarce, with much work. Okay, so now we go, all of the scripture tells us and points to the fact that those who profess to be members of the house of the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov will be the first ones to experience the wrath of Elohim, because in many cases, the so-called members of his houses have willingly transgressed the words of his Torah, of life, that he gave to us at Mount Sinai. And through their rebellious disobedience, they have brought disgrace to Yahweh's name and his house by allowing all kinds of man-made doctrines to infiltrate his house. Based on this fact, Peter posed all of us a question when he says that if the people of the houses of Yahweh, where the wrath of Elohim is first poured on, are scarcely delivered, protected, and or preserved, then what will happen? What will be the end result of those that don't even know him? It is important that we all understand the severity of Yahweh's wrath, for he has given mankind countless opportunities to repent of their evil ways, and therefore it is up to each and every individual to choose whom they will believe. Will they believe and obey the words of the Father's Torah of life, or a life that will eventually lead them to everlasting life? Or will they believe the lies of the enemy, Satan, who has come to steal, kill, and destroy? Please remember that Yahweh said it in Revelation 18:4, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, so that you do not continue to be partakers of her sins, her Torah transgressions, and so that you do not receive her plagues, for her sins, the sins of the man-made religions of the world and their secular counterparts, have reached unto the heavens, and Elohim has remembered her iniquities and rewards her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, fill her double.'"
Oh, isn't that beautiful?
The punishment that Yahweh will bring upon the people of the earth in the end times will be very severe, and the only way that anyone can escape that punishment is by them willingly and lovingly choosing to believe, follow Yahweh's command to come out of her, my people, come out of the false beliefs to any and all man-made religions or secular doctrines of the world, and then willingly choose to surrender their hearts, minds, souls, and strength to our Heavenly Father, and allow him through his Holy Spirit to cause them to believe, follow, and obey the words of his Torah of life. There are no other avenues, my friends, that lead to the kingdom of Elohim. There is only one, and that is a Torah obedient life. For Yahweh has made it very clear throughout Scripture that there is only one law for the homeborn and for the sojourner. And that's worth an amen. Verse 19, "Wherefore let them suffer, let them that suffer according to the will of Elohim commit to keeping of their souls to him in doing good and unto faithful Creator." What Peter is teaching us here is that there will be many people that make it into the kingdom of Elohim. And he says that if the people of his house scarcely make it, there will not be many people make it into the kingdom, And he says that if the people of his house scarcely make it into the kingdom, then what are the chances of the people that are not part of his house of making it into the kingdom? I believe that Peter is telling us that if we profess to love Yahweh, then we also have to love all of his created beings, including those that will perish. If they do not willingly turn to him before their end, their physical death. Therefore, I believe that Peter is admonishing all of us to be in prayer for all the peoples of the world, because everyone that does not make it into the Father's kingdom is another tear that our Creator will shed. And I, for one, do not want him to shed more tears than he has to. Therefore, I would ask all of you to take the time to ask him what it is that I, and insert your name here, can do that will limit the amount of tears that you, Father, will indeed shed for those who will be lost in end times on Judgment Day. Amen. Any thoughts or comments, guys?